welcome to the Geek Out Heroes. This is Vargo.
Miles.
And this week, we realized that we were actually going to not have a podcast, but unexpectedly, Battlefield 5 dropped a teaser trailer, and, well, we had to talk about it, so.
the initial thing that they dropped was with the teaser announcement. I don't know what the hell you want to call it.
Yeah, which was, which I think was like a total of like, maybe 10 seconds
3 seconds,
yeah, something like that. It's like I might be giving it too much credit. I might I'm adding on seconds to the black screen and then the black screen at the end.
All I saw was a guy, you know, doing the shush motion and
only dreams,
you know, Battlefield 5. I'm like, all right.
So that's, you know, that's one of the main things we're gonna talk about. Before we go into like how we feel about the trailer and stuff, one thing I want to bring up is that the reason why Battlefield 1 was called Battlefield 1 was because it was taking place during World War 1. Obviously very different, but it still had a very serious tone to it, and it did justice to the intensity that World War 1 was and just the craziness that took place during that time. I mean, it was the first time the entire world was going to war and millions were being killed. So,
yeah. And we played the hell out of it initially.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, you know, for what it was.
So,
and, you brought up a pretty good point, you know, that the premium packs, you know, allowing, people to get their map packs early and or included were kind of separating our player base.
Yeah, and the problem, like the biggest problem with that was obviously the fact that, like, you know, the premium packs split up their gamer base, and it's like, well, not everybody bought the premium pack right away, or not everybody even wanted it to begin with. So
Right. We
should just, you know, it should either be free for this next one, and everybody gets it, or they only produce, you know, or they only produce one version of the game, and it's, you know, whatever price they're asking for, including the map packs, to try and stop that. Because the other thing that happened was, on top of that, the maps released so late. I mean, almost year after the game had come out was when we started getting, like, listeners, I realized there was a small map pack before that, but at the time, the player base was still pretty good. But then there was like this six to eight month stretch of nothing. And we didn't hear anything about the Russian side. Like, we were all expecting a Russian campaign at this point, because we're like, well, why are they taking so long for maps? If, you know, and that started the whole conversation. Well, maybe we're actually going to get like an extra single player content, which would have been kick ass. And I think would have been the better way to go. It probably would have actually revitalized the single or the multiplayer as well.
Yeah, because while the single player wasn't massive, you know, I had a lot of fun with it. I thought the stories were kind of intriguing. You know, I would have liked to have seen more added to it, and to go all the way up to their latest map release, and not only for the game to basically just die, but you know, also for them to include nothing for single player, and like not one single extra thing to do on single player, is, you know, kind of sad.
Yeah,
in all reality,
absolutely. So that really hurt the last game. So because of that, like we all are kind of apprehensive to even look at the next Battlefield, because we don't know how they're going to treat the DLC or like treat their map packs. We don't know if they're going to make them free like they did with Battlefront, and we don't know if they're going to be able to release in a decent amount of time to keep us, you know, keep us playing. Because let's just, we went back to Battlefield 1 recently and there was nobody. It was like a wasteland of trying to find games.
I couldn't play with anybody except for the people that like did that shit solely. And even that was only, what, maybe 200 people in the entire world? Something like that. Something ridiculous. So it wasn't even worth it towards the end. That's not to say we didn't get our money's worth out of it, you know, period. But, I'm really on the fence with this next one anyways, not only because of what we saw in the trailer, but EA has left a bad taste in my mouth for the past, what, 2-3 years now?
Multiple years now, and with almost every game release. I mean, literally the only reason why I own Battlefront was because I got the game on sale. Plus, I also had credit with Origin. So it was one of those things of, well, you know, I might as well just use it and get something that's cheap.
Yeah.
But yeah, EA has been kind of on our shit list for several years now. And along not only just with our personal experiences, but overall how they've treated their gamers. I mean, we're talking about a company that literally
and
thinks
their
that
studios.
If, and their studios, absolutely their studios. We're talking about a company that literally acts like the only thing they have to do is apologize. Like every time there's, oh, you know, we're sorry. You know, it's like the South Park BP.
Yeah.
We're sorry. Like that's how it comes across. And they're not like they haven't come across at any moment. Have I ever felt like it's been genuine from EA? Because you know, if it's genuine, you can tell, listeners, that if you want to look back at genuine moments where a company was genuinely apologetic for what happened, look at Microsoft. Granted, they were forced into it, but eventually they were apologetic with the 360 launch and having a 54% failure rate. They extended they were the first company to extend their warranty for over a year to make sure that consoles that failed would be replaced. I mean, that was a pretty big deal. They owned up to the fact that they completely fucked up. Now, don't get me wrong, it took a while for us to get there.
Yeah. Replaced by consoles that would also fail.
Fail.
From the same exact thing.
You know, they kept going, and eventually we got to a point where we had the better 360s that finally weren't failing, and we finally got to a good point with them. Sony, same kind of thing. Sony had the information leak. They had a huge hacking leak in their system. This wasn't like a DDoS attack. It was just people stole information. And fucking E3 shows up, and there you have Sony standing out in front, and immediately the first thing out of their mouths is, let's address the elephant in the room. And they apologized openly on stage. That's a huge fucking deal. And not only that, but they apologized, and then they gave games away for free to customers. Right. Anyone who had a PlayStation Plus membership, your membership was extended by, I think, I want to say a three-month extension, and they gave everyone else a free 2 or 3 months of PlayStation Plus. And if they didn't want to continue it, that was fine. They could keep the games that they got for free. I mean, that was kind of a big deal. Now, granted, I owned most of the games they made for free, but still, I mean, it was kind of a big deal for a company to stand up and say, we fucked up.
Good gesture.
Yeah, we fucked up. Our bad. Here's some free stuff. We're sorry. We'll try to make it up to you somehow. And in some cases, I did read that there were a few people that actually wrote into Sony and said, I actually own all these games and stuff. And Sony turned around and extended their if they were PlayStation Plus members, they would ask them, do you want a discount, or we can extend your PlayStation Plus membership even longer? I thought that was kind of a cool thing. You know, obviously it didn't happen with a lot of people because a lot of people weren't willing to go on a limb and ask Sony, hey, are you willing to do anything for me?
But yeah, when it comes to EA, completely unapologetic.
Yeah, they come out, they say, we're sorry. And then they basically do the whole thing of, we're sorry, we'll do better next time. And they turn around and they sort of do, like I say this, you know, rockily, they sort of do better next time, but it's always with like this kind of tongue in cheek thing of like, oh yeah, well, we'll do better next time, but you'll have to pay us for it.
Right.
Kind of like, you know, they knew they fucked up with Battlefront. They came out with Battlefront, no campaign. People asked them for campaigns months before the game ever came out. They knew well over a year that people wanted a campaign. They knew this long time before they actually came out with the game. And yet they ignored that entirely, and they still came out with the multiplayer only anyways. Now, listeners, don't get us wrong. We actually did say that it was worth buying, and it was at the time. It was a decent multiplayer until they started ruining it with all their patches.
Yeah, tweaked it way too far.
But we also had the caveat of hopefully they'll add a campaign later. Never happened, obviously, because we were hoping that maybe EA heard the commotion, was like, we'll add a campaign later. Instead, they do the whole tongue-in-cheek thing of, you know, we learned from our past mistakes and we put in a campaign for Battlefront 2. Well, that's great, but this is Battlefront 2, and I'm not paying you $60 for a campaign that should have been in the first fucking game.
Well, and wasn't it right around that release or before that release, they came out and said, oh, people don't want a single-player story.
Yeah.
I was like, you're completely fucking wrong.
Yeah, clearly that's incorrect if the amount of people who bought the game sat there and said, where the fuck's the single player? Like, why am I not getting single player?
You know, at least with old school Star Wars Battlefront 2, you had Conquer the Galaxy as well, which kind of gave you your own little, like, shuffle of campaign.
Are you talking about the original Battlefront 2?
Yes.
Yeah, that was great. And, I loved that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I played the fuck out of that. I can't tell you how many hours I put into that, playing that with friends. You know, it'd be one of those things you fucking go hang out and like, oh shit, I've got to get up in fucking 4 hours.
Yeah, that was the that was one of those games that made me extremely appreciative that I had Xbox and Xbox Live.
Yeah,
because
that was just a blast. So I'm kind of surprised that they abandoned that altogether personally, but
It's a it's a different studio, and it's also being published by EA, and EA has is notorious for completely ignoring feedback. I mean, you could be a QA tester and blatantly tell them, this is a bad idea. You should do something else, like what happened with the loot crates. And every developer out there telling them, don't do this. This is a bad idea. You will have a tremendous amount of blowback. EA thought, well, it's Star Wars. It's so big, it can't fail. But they forgot, it's Star Wars. If you fuck with a franchise that enough people love, you will fuck yourself over completely.
Yeah. Enough to land them in investigations in Europe for fucking gambling.
Yeah. I mean, it's been outlawed in two different countries now. Right. Which is fuck. Like, you and I have talked about this. I mean, sounds fucking lunacy, but still. It's enough for them to.
It's not gambling.
No, it's not.
But I get where they're coming from, and it's annoying. So if it shuts down, it shuts down.
Yeah, it falls under a very strict understanding of what that law is in those countries. But hey, if it stops this from happening or continuing, I'm all for it. I don't see it going beyond what it already has. I think EA already had enough blowback of, well, we didn't sell the game very much. We didn't make the money that we wanted to from it. But you know, EA still showed profit. They still made a ton of money. Overall, because they own a lot of games and they have a lot of games out there that just rake in cash. So, but that's, listeners, that's a little, you know, that's a little bit of why we feel this way when it comes to EA and why we're hesitant to even want to consider it, consider getting Battlefield 5. But one thing I do want to talk about is, so Battlefield 5 is, you know, obviously with the Roman numeral. Is it weird to you, Miles, that it went from Battlefield 1, which was obviously for World War 1, to Battlefield 5, even though Battlefield 4 was in the future? And
personally, I thought it was weird that they went back to
1,
the number system for 1 in the first place. Like, I get the reasoning, but you could have gone a completely different route and been perfectly fine without any kind of questioning.
Yeah, they could have actually, I agree, they could have actually just called it Battlefield WWI.
Yeah.
Or even just, you know, Battlefield I, you know, with the Roman numeral I, and continued on to Battlefield II for World War II.
Right.
I just feel it's weird we're just like, you know, Battlefield 1, Battlefield 5. I'm like, well, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
And so kind of, you know, along those lines and getting back to that teaser trailer that we saw, you and I both had no idea when the fuck this was actually taking place. At some points it looked kind of World War II-ish, and at some points it kind of looked like maybe futuristic, like apocalyptic kind of war.
Almost at the very beginning, I thought it was Vietnam at first.
Really?
At the very beginning. And that was because of just some of the angles they were using, the weapons they were using. I was like, you know, I realized that a lot of weapons we use in war have been around for a very long time.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, Russia made the AK-47. And as far as I'm concerned, aside from the Israeli assault rifle, we really haven't made anything better.
of that kind of reliability. Absolutely. Yeah. Not.
That's what I mean. Of just that kind of reliability and just simplicity. I mean, that gun is practically perfect, aside from the kickback. But yeah, that thing will blow you accuracy on your ass if you're not careful.
But boy, can you leave it in the fucking beach for, you know, 2 years and come back and fire it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, there wasn't a very clear theme at first. And in all reality, even when the teaser trailer finishes, it's still not ultimately clear to me. So I'm just going with alternate history World War II. You know, kind of
yeah, like that,
with the first one.
That trailer was so bonkers. I mean, you and I talked about it earlier. It came across like a...
It was pretty.
Here's everything cool you can do highlights reel from YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like watching almost like watching a Call of Duty cyberpunk...
But with like cinematics mixed into it.
Yeah, you know? with cinematics... Reason,
with the HUD attached over, at least the end.
Yeah, you know, was it... Sunset. I mean, it had a little bit of a Sunset Overdrive feel to it, along with Overwatch, and I was just like, "What the fuck is going on?" Yeah. Like this. None of this feels like Battlefield. And what's pretty prevalent is the amount of response that I've been seeing. Now, keep in mind, listeners, this is the internet, and the internet blows up over nothing. So that's not saying a whole lot. But the amount of blowback that I've been seeing on Reddit forums and on the Battlefield forum pages, a lot of people are really torn on this. Like they realize that it's a trailer and that it is obviously a CGI trailer. There's nothing about that is in game. Which I had to point that out to Loach earlier today. Loach was like, "Well, you know, I thought it was really pretty." I'm like, "Well, yeah, it's CGI. Of course it's pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't mean anything."
Yeah, no, I don't care how good you are. You don't blind fire out into the middle of the fucking air and then suddenly take down a fucking plane intentionally.
Yeah, like that's what I was talking about with the cool shit you can do in Call of Duty. Yeah. That moment in that trailer reminded me of the jump up and spin randomly shooting with a sniper rifle to see if you hit anyone. It went right with that. I was like, that is stupid. And then, you know, on top of that, you had a female. I don't know what the deal is. Like, I understand the wanting to add having a female in there, but Russia was one of the few, and Russia had an entire unit devoted to it. And they were pretty badass.
Yeah.
So, and most of them were designed to be spies. I mean, they like, that's kind of where the female spy originated from was kind of that area. So,
yeah. If you're interested, listeners, look up Lady Death.
Yeah. Pretty fucking awesome. I would actually like to see, to be honest, I'd like to see a movie on that.
Oh yeah. Well, there was. And it's almost kind of documentary-esque.
Is it?
I can't remember specific. I saw it on, I think, Netflix probably maybe a year ago. But yeah. It was actually really good. That's how I learned about it. I was like, I had no idea this person existed. That is badass. But, you know, one of the deadliest snipers to ever fucking live.
Yeah. But when we saw her, like, she didn't seem to have any kind of accent. She didn't come across as Russian, didn't come across as
if, you know, anything, maybe British.
Maybe British, yeah.
Was an amputee.
So putting aside the inaccuracy of her, I understand that, you know, our video games need more, you know, in general need more female heroes to
diversity
for women to look up to, and there are plenty of women out there who want to play as a female in this. And
there's a lot of us guys that want to play as female.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. We're not going to judge. And if you're in third person, it's a lot better to look at. Yeah, just putting that out there. But the prosthetic arm thing, I was like, that's a little immersion breaking for anything for me, because that the arm she had, like, prosthetics were around back then, yes, but they not to that.
They weren't functioning that
advancement. Yeah. I mean, like, Jesus Christ,
like I said, we get it. It's alternate World War II history. You know, I expect some things to flub a little bit, but, you know, not to the point where it's, you know, kind of futuristic,
almost cyberpunk.
Yeah. Oh, at first when she gets blown onto her ass, I thought, and you first see her hand, really.
Yeah,
I thought it was like tentacles. I was like, "What the fuck?" And I think a little bit further on, you get a better look, and it looks like it's just one of the, you know, kind of old hook style, you know, clamps, but I mean, yeah, she's able to operate it. I mean, it's her trigger hand.
When I first saw it, I was like, is that a robot hand? Like, what the hell is going on? And then, like, you know, as the trailer keeps going, it just keeps getting more and more ludicrous.
Yeah.
And
basically hardcore Henry meets Battlefield.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I mean, just I literally sat there at the end of it and I sat for like 2 minutes going, I don't know how I feel about this. I get that, you know, games need to evolve and need to change over time, but not to the point where it doesn't seem like it's a game that it actually started out to be or that it's actually attached to. If that's the case, then just call it something different. Just call it something right. new.
You know, like I said, this isn't legitimate gameplay.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of curious what's going to carry over from this into gameplay, because like in the end they shoot that missile goes off, yeah. hits the ground, and you know, moments the later they get hit with the concussive force of the explosion, right?
Yeah.
And just wipes out fucking everything in that area. Like, if you're going to put that in World War II, like, you didn't put that in any of the other battlefields, in all reality, you know? I was like, there was plenty of other fucking artillery and stuff like that that would do plenty of damage but wouldn't clear a fucking map. You know, don't turn this into the Call of Duty nuke.
I don't think it's supposed to be completely a nuke or clearing the entire map, but V2 rockets were pretty fucking... They were fucking...
Oh, I'm not disagreeing brutal. With that. I'm just saying that... From what they showed, it looked like it cleared a massive area. You know, it'd be the yeah. the equivalent of hitting golf in Battlefield 1, the checkpoint that we'd love to take out. It'd be yeah. the equivalent of knocking out that entire checkpoint and maybe a little around the surrounding area.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. When they said, oh, no, not the rockets, I was like, when that happened, I literally laughed. Like, seriously? Like, because the reaction, and I was like, not the rockets. Like, don't use those.
Not the rockets, George.
Yeah, I was just, what the fuck? And, you know, when she saved his life, she's like, hey, pal. I was like, what the fuck? I literally didn't know what I was watching. Like, I sat there, I'm like, this is like everything about the attitude of the characters they showed in it was stolen from Overwatch. Absolutely.
Yeah.
From all of their trailers that we've seen.
Kind of bubblegum pop.
And yeah. I could not get around that. And my first impression when I first saw it was like at the very beginning of it, I was like, okay, this is very different than what I thought they were going to show us. And then it showed the multiplayer HUD just.
Yeah.
Fade in for no reason.
Yeah. I didn't even know if I saw it really move, like, you know, any of the information on it other than the ammo.
That's possible. Like when I was watching and that popped up, I was like, fuck you, none of this is multiplayer, eat a dick. Immediately it makes me worry when a company goes to, okay, here's our multiplayer, because that's Call of Duty is instantly, like, their teaser was instantaneously fucking multiplayer. It's been multiplayer right. for their teasers for years. That's been their focus. And then they don't show you it until E3, the single player campaign. And this one goes, well, here's the multiplayer. What the fuck are you going to show at E3, Call of Duty? You're just going to show off yeah. multiplayer? Because we've already seen that. So with Battlefield, it kind of makes me worry when the first thing they focus on is, here's and multiplayer.
When you have a setting of World War One or World War II, you, at least for me, you typically expect and want... a gritty kind of fucking story and experience.
Yeah.
You know, you don't go into that looking for some sort of like bubblegum pop kind of hyper enthusiastic, you know, fight.
Yeah. I look for more realism. That's one of the things that I appreciate from World War II, from Call of Duty World War II. That is a freaking right. fantastic game. And that's the storytelling is phenomenal and it's taken seriously. It's not taken out of context. It is very, The multiplayer for Call of Duty, though, is it's treated more of, oh, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, it feels like 1950s goofy in some parts right. where you have to watch an information video about, you know, oh, this is the type of soldier that you've chosen and this is the class you are and all that shit. But that aside, the main story campaign is very gritty. It's very, you know, very serious. So I can sit there and say, okay, well, I can look at that with some forgiveness, but Call of Duty World War II, the first thing they showed off was not the multiplayer. The first thing they showed off was their trailer for the single player, because they wanted to show people that World War II, with the World War II content, they wanted to treat it with some fucking serious storytelling and try and bring back the what Call of Duty was known for, which was the big set pieces, the good story, and the experience, where multiplayer was just, that's an add-on, that's a plus, that's not the main event. I did, you know, listeners, I did say back when we talked about Call of Duty World War II that I was a little, you know, weary after seeing the multiplayer, but that was my first playing experience with World War II, which wasn't the best way to sell me, but the campaign was phenomenal, and I did recommend getting that game just for that. So with Battlefield 5 coming out, and it having such an emphasis on this bubblegum pop kind of gameplay and acting like their character, or, you know, like we as gamers just kind of like, all right, hey buddy, how's it going? I'm going to get you off the ground and we're going to go, oh, there's a car falling from the air, let's shoot that and it'll land on this guy. And like, it just seemed so ludicrous and so not Battlefield that I instantly went, all right, well, that's not a buy for me. Now it is a teaser, and we, you know, we are going to be looking forward to the gameplay and how that's going to show off. And I want to see what it's actually going to look like.
Yeah. I mean, it's meant to grab your attention, sort of intrigue you, which, I mean, in that scape of things, I'm intrigued. I'm curious to know more, but, if this is any kind of indication of what to expect from it, I'm going to probably be a little disappointed and probably just pick it up when it goes, you know, a little bit cheaper, just before the game dies, like Battlefield 1.
Yeah. If this has any indication as to what's going on in the writing for the single player, you can count me the fuck out.
Right.
And if you listeners, really quick, if you want to go back and watch the trailers for Battlefield 1, fucking awesome. Whoever put those together, hats off to that guy. Now, if for the Battlefield 5 trailer, I do want to point this out. If the idea was to go for this kind of style and that's where the game's going, you fucking nailed it. You nailed it.
Right.
Great trailer for that. It's not the appropriate, you know, the developers are to blame. It's when it comes to content wise, it's not appropriate for the game. Right. It's not appropriate for this game series.
Yeah. And so much for the rumors of it being the next Bad Company.
Yeah, you know? I got to say, if this had been for a Bad Company game, I probably would judge it completely differently, because Bad Company, I judge absolutely on a completely different level from Battlefield. Because to me, the Bad Company games are different.
Yeah, it's a little bit more. It's not that full blown, you know, but it's a nice balance between, you know, kind of arcadey, go have fun, and a little bit of the grittiness.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's a big part of the reason why I liked the Bad Company bit as much as I did. Because, I mean, you know, you would avenge a friend and be like, that's for my friend, motherfucker. You know, and your player would have these very profane call-outs, which were absolutely hilarious, and that I totally missed from the Battlefield series.
Nice.
They brought it back a little bit in one, but not to that extent. Unfortunately. And you know, I remember the Vietnam pack for Bad Company 2, and taking off in a fucking helicopter and like Fly the Valkyries with Play or Senator's Son, you know. Shit would be fucking amazing. It's a lot of fun. So I keep hoping for another Bad Company, but apparently you know, EA or DICE doesn't really give a shit about that. So.
Yeah. Now, listeners, if it turns out that this is not a representation of anything in the game, EA, your marketing team sucks. If that's the case. This is a lot of back and forth, but still, your marketing team needs to learn, one, like, to step up and say, yeah, this shouldn't be called Battlefield 5. It should be called Battlefield something else, so that we can show that the first one was kind of a reboot. We need to continue with that. Aside from that, whoever decided to say, oh, it's going to be Battlefield 5 with, a Roman numeral. You've been calling them 1, 2, 3, and 4. So with the actual numbers, numerical, not Roman numeral. So why did you go with the Roman numeral if you're not going to be having this take place during Vietnam? That makes no sense. Like, fucking seriously? How did anyone in your marketing team miss this? How did no Maybe one bring V this up to victory. You? Yeah. V-Day, yeah. But, yeah, listeners, that's why we had to come back today just to talk about this, because we were just so... It doesn't feel like Battlefield.
Yeah. I'm going to try to reserve any further judgment on it, really, until I see some actual legitimate gameplay. But, you know, if I had to base a pre-order off this, it's not going to happen. You know,
but I've already decided I won't pre-order any EA games ever.
Right. If I see the gameplay trailers, you know, come out, and, you know, it looks like I can have as much fun in there as we did with Battlefield 1, then, yeah, I might, you know, depending on its release schedule, because mm-hmm. for all I know, they're going to try to compete with games that, you know, actually have story and other stuff, like that, in which case it'll be put far back on the burner.
So. Yeah. I have no faith in anything that they make now. So.
Oh, I don't either.
Anytime somebody comes or asks if I want to pre-order an EA game, I'm just gonna be like, no, I'm good. I'll wait until the game's out for a while and figure out then. I'm at that point almost with Ubisoft now too.
Oh yeah, easily.
I'm already at that point with you know, obviously Assassin's Creed. I won't be buying that ever again. Not even if they give me a free fucking copy again, I won't buy that. The whole industry is just kind of letting me down, and it's kind of sad. it's really weird when I look at the industry, and the thing that I look forward to is more of the exclusives than anything else that's out there.
Because at least they got to focus on something. Typically, at least they got to focus on something more than multiplayer.
Yeah.
And I think that's, unfortunately, a big shift that we've seen in the industry is games for money instead of games for the sake of being games.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I get it. It's a business. You got to, you know, make money. But you can easily do that with really good story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And really good gameplay. And some studios can't, which... would bring me to State of Decay too.
Go for it.
So the biggest plus from State of Decay 2 is that it now includes multiplayer, so you no longer have to roam the town by yourself and get, you know, supplies and everything else, because it's very much still the same game, just with some co-op help. And the other plus is I got it for $30 because of Amazon Prime's pre-order price. And in which case, if you don't get that, I think it's like $50.
Or you can just do Game Pass and pay $10 to experience it, or free if you've never had Game Pass and not worry about it.
Right. very much the same as the first game, and that's kind of even graphically. I mean, it might look a little bit better than the first one. It's kind of hard to tell. It's that close. Bug and glitch wise, especially visual issues, the first one's better than the second one. And that's just sad. It's just very bad coding, I think, on some of this stuff. Like, no, you're wrong. I'm having a lot of fun playing it with Shayna. I enjoy killing zombies in games. And survival games I tend to enjoy, unless it's just the odds are just completely fucking stacked against me. And this one has kind of a decent balance, except for, you know, when you go to climb off of a, you know, 50-foot water tower and your character completely ignores the ladder. and decides to base jump without a parachute.
I really, really want to be angry with this game, but it's only $30, so I can't. I can't be like, oh, it's a complete fucking waste of my money, because I've sort of already gotten the gameplay out of it. I'm going to continue playing it, but I don't recommend buying it right now. I recommend bidding it unless you got people that you know you're going to play with, because it does allow, I think, up to four to five people to play together at the same time, which is awesome. You know, if you can get that many people together, I mean, you're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the towns that they generate.
Okay.
But yeah, the physics in that game are fucking terrible. Gotcha. I went to nudge Shayna's truck to get her unstuck and wind up, and I literally mean nudge. I didn't hit her at more than maybe 5 miles an hour. And I launch myself down the road in the town, and can't even tell you how many times I rolled the SUV I was driving. Somehow, I don't die. Even being launched 50 feet through the air and probably 30 yards down the road. And Shayna gets flipped up in this fucking massive pickup truck, gets flipped, I don't know, probably almost directly up into the air, comes down, car explodes. She's able to get out. The car's just on fire. She's able to get out, but everything in the back, we can't get access to because the car's on fire. And we come back later, and you can actually fix the truck. But so a lot of the flashlight that they give you in the game is almost useless, because it's like it's trying to cast shadows from, you know, like if you were holding the flashlight behind you and running, you know. Yeah, it's really bad with shadows.
Why is that my shadow?
The thing is it's a necessity at night, because they made night so fucking dark most of the time in that game that you can't operate without it, and it's not really reliable. So I don't know. It's, like I said, I'm having fun with it, but I say bin easy.
Well, since it's a bin, or, you know, easily a borrow, I'd recommend just doing the Game Pass to anyone. Yeah. So, and trying it out. I say the same, of course, listeners, I say the same thing for Sea of Thieves. If somebody doesn't, you know, if somebody's wanting to try it out or wanting to try it out with some friends, you do the same thing with that. There's a big update coming to Sea of Thieves this week, so I'm looking forward to playing that. Is it this week? No, it's next week, right? Because today's the 4th, so listeners, we're recording this on a Thursday, by the way. Yeah. In case I don't get to post this tomorrow.
You're right, it might be next week.
Yeah, what is this week, though, is Detroit Become Human. So
yep, I get looking that forward to playing tomorrow. That.
So. Mine's already downloaded, it's just waiting for me to play it at 10 o'clock tonight, our time, or my time.
I got a physical copy on that one only because I'm like, well, I don't think it's going to wind up being a game that I'm going to keep for very long. I'll probably play it to kind of what I feel is its extent, and I'll probably trade it in.
Fair enough. I bought the digital because in the past I've replayed their games, so I might as well just keep it on hand and keep it digital. That and the fact that I'm really tired of buying discs. Really tired of buying discs for games. So. Right.
Oh, and State of Decay 2, one more thing.
Yeah.
The survivors weren't all that great in the first game. The AI. But in this
first thing there, I thought you were like just complaining about the fact that, like, they gave you a really shitty game or shitty characters to play as. They had like no fucking stats. I mean, like one of them was a housewife.
Right. At least you got to pick from, I think it's like 6 different characters more or less to start with. Whereas the first one, it just started you as the same 2 guys, basically.
Oh, okay.
However, the AI and how they handle themselves when you're away is absolutely atrocious on Shayna's game. Her people are the most inept fucking survivors of all time.
I recall hearing that over the mic yesterday.
I can't tell you how many times they've lost supplies or had supplies stolen or had them go bad because of not having enough storage. yeah, all kinds of stupid shit. It's fucking bonkers. And to top it off, too, is we went and fought our first enemy, human enemy. And by human enemy, I mean like somebody that's not a zombie. They're still AI.
Yeah.
We fought our first group of those people. And, you know, most of them went down, but it seems like there was kind of like a boss character in that group. Because this person could dodge and shoot almost instantaneously right after each other and not get tired. All right. And
wow, I put, sounds like they belong in God of War.
Yeah. It reminded me of Dead Rising bosses.
Oh.
All right. Just fucking bullet sponges that would just tear your fucking, you know, asshole open.
Yeah.
You know, if you went in with nothing other than a full fucking armada of weaponry.
Sorry, I've been playing. I can't tell you. I've been playing Mafia 3, as you know, and the thing that pisses me off is when you go after anyone in that game and you shoot them in the head, they die instantly, except for the mob bosses. Like,
yeah,
you could shoot them 15 times in the brain pan and they won't go down, and finally they'll hit the ground, and then you have to walk up to them and do the stupid, you know, let me talk to you animation. It reminds me of Assassin's Creed almost.
Right.
But difference is Assassin's Creed, if you assassinated somebody from a long distance, they'd go directly to that animation, even though you weren't near him.
Yeah.
But in this case, I was like, well, what the fuck? Like, I shot this lady 5 times in the face, the 45. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, go down, bitch. What the hell does it take? Like, she's like, maybe weighs like a 105, and everybody else in the room just went down with one shot to the face. And she's just freaking taking it like a goddamn champ.
You know, I can accept them being slightly tougher than, you know, normal combatants, but, you know, 40 whacks with a machete and, you know, 20 rounds of ammunition shouldn't be what's, you know, should be far more than enough to take them down, and it wasn't.
Yeah. Right now, at that point, they'd literally be hamburger.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care what kind of fucking armor you have on, you know. Yeah. Just doesn't happen that way. But like I said, still fun for what it is, but get it cheap if you want to check it out, or just don't fucking bother.
Yeah. I forgot to tell you this yesterday. After you signed off, actually I didn't get to tell you because I didn't get to talk to you after this because you had signed off. But one of the mob bosses that I had to take out was in a car, and the entire mission is basically like they tell you, like, he's got a police escort, which would make things normally just excessively stupid. And their whole thing is like, oh, you have to either kill him in the armored car that he's in, mm-hmm. which has basically bulletproof glass, which is pointless. And sniper rifles in the game are practically pointless, so there's no point in trying that. Or wait for him to get home and then kill him there. Well, since they can withstand sniper rifle shots, I already know that from earlier experience. I sat there, I was like, you know what? I'm going to play this to a point where I can figure out what his route is and see what happens. So I figured out the route that he takes. And then I was like, okay, I'm not going to deal with this. I go back to the load checkpoint, and it goes back to the beginning when he gets in his car. I walk out in the middle of the street, plant a thing of C4 on the ground. And just waited for him to roll over it. Blows up him and the car. And I was like, yep, at least C4 still works. Like, if that car had withstood C4, I would have turned off the game because I would have just been so fucking pissed. Like, just fucking furious at that shit.
It reminds me of when I was playing Hitman Blood Money a long time back.
Yeah.
I always prided myself in the Hitman games of making the kills look like accidents, except for when you really kind of couldn't.
Yeah.
And there was one guy, he was clearly like witness protection or whatever. And I snuck into his house, and there I had played this level, I don't even know how many times, and eventually I just got frustrated with it.
couldn't find a way to kill him by accident, but I still wanted to go in unseen. So I managed to sneak in, and he would always sit down and put on like a football game or something like that. So I strapped a pack of C4 to the back of his fucking recliner.
And walked now you have rockets. Out,
and I just waited for the TV to turn on. I'm like, bink.
That's awesome.
Just see a fucking light go off in the house, and you're like, all right, mission accomplished.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
So I was at IGN. Did a story on NBC Comcast
computer. Oh no, that wasn't IG, that wasn't IGN. That's actually Jessica Chobot's or the company she now works for. It's not IGN though.
Oh, I thought I saw the symbol for it, but regardless, okay, it doesn't even matter where it came from. There's a story that came out that one of them did. That, you know, about NBC, Comcast competing against Disney for Fox.
Yeah.
And their properties, their entertainment properties.
Yeah, it's still just a, like, really what's really funny is it's a rumor that they've proposed a deal of $60 billion cash. I want to point this out. Cash. And that's supposed to be a bigger deal than $52 billion in assets, money, and stocks.
Right. And that doesn't mean a damn thing when you're going against Disney. Because yeah. Anything they own is as good as cash.
Yeah. What's really funny is the fact of they shut it off and people are freaking out over it, like, oh, you know, that's they can't do that because if Fox gets bought by Comcast, they lose the rights to Marvel. No, that's not how it works. It's the same thing as when, you know, Warner Brothers bought New Line Cinema, just because New Line Cinema still had the rights to Blade even after they bought them. So right. When New Line Cinema became a Time Warner company, they were still called New Line Cinema. That's the way that they keep the properties that New Line Cinema owns. That's how it works. So otherwise, anyone, listeners, sometimes, who's telling you that they will lose their property, they don't know what they're talking about, because the company isn't having to be renamed.
Yeah. Yeah, the only way that happens is if there's something specifically in the contract of originally having those properties that reverts them back to somebody. And that was one of the comments I was laughing my ass off. Like, oh, you know, it's going to – Deadpool and X-Men are going to go back to Marvel. I'm like, well, guess who owns Marvel, dumbass?
Yeah. Yeah, that was like, the other thing.
Essentially still going back to Disney. Yeah.
A lot of people sit there and they say, oh, well, you know, that they're going to go back to Marvel. And Disney won't be able to touch them. I'm like, do you guys even know who owns Marvel? Like, are you aware of Disney at all? Like, is Disney anything other than Disney to you? Like, they own Buena Vista Pictures, they own Touchstone, they own like a shit ton of companies.
And one of the things that made me laugh my ass off about that is like, oh, you know, one of the guys on there is like, Disney's ruined Star Wars and they've ruined Marvel. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, not in the slightest have they done either of those things.
Yeah. And then I remember Marvel before Disney picked them up, and Marvel was struggling tremendously to make anything happen, including in their comics.
Yeah. And that was, you know, one of those kind of accompanying kind of comments that was along the same lines, was, you know, like, oh, anything to keep it out of Disney's evil money grubbing hands. Like, are you aware of who Comcast is?
Yeah, seriously. Like,
of the two evils, at least one of them's entertaining and doesn't, you know, smile when they're
fucking
me.
You. Yeah. I want to, like, what's really funny is I saw one comment on there and a guy was like sitting there, he goes, yeah, you know, this is so much better. I hope Comcast gets it, because, you know, screw Disney, along the same kind of lines. And somebody actually asked, hey man, where do you get your internet from? And he said Xfinity.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you like Xfinity? I have Xfinity, and don't get me wrong, they're better than CenturyLink.
But
that's not saying much. Yeah, that's not saying much, because we literally only have two choices in this area. So
Yeah.
I mean, it's practically a fucking monopoly.
You want to talk monopolies? Like, Comcast has been under investigation for it before, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still hope Comcast eventually just fucking eats shit and dies. But
yeah, well, here's the other thing. There are lots of things standing in the way of this. Comcast, for one, Comcast owning Fox would probably bring up a lot of red flags, because they recently had AT&T and Warner Brothers trying to do a merger. And listeners, if you don't know this, Warner Brothers is owned by Time Warner. Time Warner is a telecommunications company. So that's a big problem, because that means that two telecommunication companies are coming together to become one. And the United States government doesn't look highly upon companies when they start to become a monopoly. I mean, it'd be the equivalent of, you know, we always joke around about Sony and Microsoft just coming together and making one console. Literally couldn't happen, because that would cause a lot of problems for Microsoft. Microsoft would be owning another technological company, and they would be removing a form of competition in the gaming industry. So with Comcast and Fox, one, they already made an offer to Fox earlier on before this. Some people tried to say it was three times or two times. They made an offer earlier. They were turned down. The reason why they were turned down was because Fox saw too many complications with trying to get together with Comcast. And the other thing was, Disney had a lot less red flags, a lot less red tape to go through, and they would probably more likely get approval without any problems. Because Disney has really good lawyers.
Money making.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Disney has no problem of, we have to be sold because we haven't made enough money. Comcast has had problems in the past. Granted, this is a long, long time ago, where, you know, they almost got overtaken. They've almost gotten, you know, bought out by other companies because they couldn't make enough money, or they couldn't keep revenue coming in. And they own Universal Studios. So that's, you know, that's kind of a big deal with a company who's been around for a long time, as long as Fox has, and they're looking at longevity. They have to look at, you know, Disney saying, okay, Disney's been around long, you know, as long, if not longer than we are, or that we have. So they have longevity. They make money. They know how to make money. They'll continue to make money, and we have no problems with this. The other thing is, Comcast is saying, oh, we're $60 billion in cash. I don't know how that works in the business world, but in the real world that we live in, if somebody gave you cash of over $10,000, the government kind of sees that as a big red flag. Right. And they immediately tax you, and they tax the shit out of you, because that's instant money. That's not, you know, that's not tied up in other things. So the way that Disney does theirs is, it's in assets, it's in stocks, some of it is in actual like money, but a lot of it's in areas that the government can't touch right away, and is going to continue to make revenue for the owners of Fox and make them a lot of money in a longer span. Yep. it's not instant gratification, but it's a long game, not a short game here. Comcast is going for the short game of like, oh, we'll instantly give you money. That's instant money. Well, that's great. But I'm pretty sure the owners of Fox don't want to instantly lose half of it. That's, you know, that's another thing to consider. And when this is all happening, I literally don't think it's a legitimate offer. I don't think it's actually true.
Well, like, and you know, people that think that
Comcast, I don't think it's in all cash,
even remotely truly compete against Disney when it comes to financial basis, yeah, you're out of your goddamn mind.
Yeah.
Like, not to overuse Loach's fucking saying for it, but they got their own fucking money press. They just fucking print the shit.
Yeah. They you know, I think they'd literally be the only company that could probably purchase the moon if it was on sale. So not the fake property of moon that you get on online. And we're like, oh, well, you know, for $10,000, you own 20 acres of the moon. Yeah. Nobody really owns the moon. So
I don't know. I mean, Neil Armstrong did penetrate it. I mean, I guess he kind of owns it.
Well, I guess, yeah, I guess, like, you know, all moon rocks and all moon dirt are technically owned by the United States government. So the U.S. owns the moon.
We stuck it in first. It's ours.
moon men be damned.
Shut the fuck up about Moonbed.
Oh, I always wanted to come back, like come with the response of somebody like, why didn't we ever go back to the moon? Because the massacre of the moon men was over and we didn't need to go back. There was none left to kill.
We've already fulfilled Manifest Destiny up there.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
Just briefly, Solo is apparently getting some decent reviews. I personally think it's a little early to really, cash those in right now.
It's gotten some decent reviews, but it's been getting some flack too. A lot of people have been saying it's rushed and the story's just kind of. The story feels like it takes kind of a back seat at some point and there's no, like, it doesn't feel like there's any true progression with it. The other thing that I've read is, what's really funny is this is the only time this is one of the few times where this actually matters, is a critic called out and said that this doesn't add anything to the Solo character, and hasn't enriched his history. And doesn't make him more relatable than he was in the previous films. In fact, he's less relatable in this than any of the other ones. So
right.
That's one of the few times where when you're not talking about an avatar from Ready Player One, where yes, legitimately this does not add to a character. So if that's true, then that's really what we kind of expected, to be honest.
The reviews that I'm moderately inclined to believe is, people are saying that, you go in and it's a fun movie, and it's better than they thought it was going to be.
And that's all you can hope for.
If I go see it soon, I'm going to be seeing it with extremely low expectations. And I'm trying to keep in mind that some of the reviews I've heard from friends of mine, aren't the best judge of quality.
If it's Anderson, then yes, you are correct.
No, it's not Anderson. It's other people that you used to work with. Okay. I'm like, it's like you tend to be a little bit positive on just about anything everything you review, so I'm going to take this with a lot of salt.
Yeah, you know what's really funny is I always actually thought that I was that kind of person, like that I was always just too positive on everything that I watched. for movies, and it's really funny because listeners, you wouldn't know it from listening to the podcast because I'm negative about almost everything. So, but it's really funny.
There's been a lot of shit over the past 4 years.
Yeah, but what's really funny is when I think about movies, the only reason why I give reviews the way I do of like, oh, I love that movie, or oh, I hate that movie. For me, it's not like. Rarely do I come across that middle ground of that movie was, just kind of thing. I either really liked it or I really hated it. there's almost no in between for half the movies I've seen. But I've seen so many movies over the last, 30 something years that I, my movie collection is, I have thousands of movies, movies that even Miles wouldn't even own or even consider owning. But I still like them. I still enjoy them. I'm a movie buff. I like movies. So,
You know me, I watch just about anything.
And that's what's really funny is the opposite is Miles will watch just about anything. I will not. there are some movies that I see and I'm like, I will not watch this. This is terrible looking. I won't see it. And Miles will just be like, all right, I'll do it. Like, it's almost like for him, like, I imagine it's like for you, it's almost like you're sitting there going, challenge accepted.
I think a lot of the bad movie, and I want to say bad movies with the caveat of entertaining because they're bad. I think a lot of the bad movies I watch are literally just that. I'm like, I want to see how bad this can be. Like, is it something I can sit there and actively make fun of? Or is it something that, like, I'm just going to want to shoot myself for listening to?
Yeah. Now, every now and then there are movies that, like, you'll watch and you'll see the trailer and the trailers just don't do it justice. It just looks terrible. And then you'll watch the movie and you're like, actually, that wasn't too bad. That was actually better than I ever thought it would be. Like, the movie Revolt on Netflix. I was like, wow, this is actually way better than that trailer looked. Like that trailer made this look like it was just a B garbage fest, and I was just gonna, you know, be cracking up the entire time. But no, it was actually pretty decent.
The Paddington movies, I had no desire to watch them because I thought they were gonna be silly and childish, and they were actually really well written and really good comedy.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't just the childish movie that I thought I was expecting.
Yeah, every now and then a movie, like, there are movies that are, that'll be surprising, and those are kind of nice to come around. I'm hoping Solo will be that kind for me. I'm hoping, like you, I'm sure I'll probably be seeing it very soon because my dad will probably want to go see it, so I'll take him to the movies. Yeah. And
Shaun of the Dead, when that first came out, I saw literally no trailers for it. All I knew was, A, it's a zombie movie. I'm like, cool. So I managed to go in and I sit down to watch it, and I don't think I even got 10 minutes in. I was like, this isn't a zombie movie. And I left.
What?
Yeah, I left.
Oh, and you should never forgive yourself for that.
It wasn't until, like, I want to say maybe like a year or two later, I went over to my friend's house. He's like, have you ever watched Shaun of the Dead? I was like, I tried. I was like, I thought it was going to be a zombie movie, and there wasn't anything happening.
You went in with the wrong expectation. Yeah, I get that.
Wrong
it's kind of like you know, like our conversation we had about Nicholas Loach's oldest going to see Ready Player One and not going in with the right mindset.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you expect some one thing, you know, sometimes that can completely ruin the movie for you. Or, you know, if you manage to catch on. It'll be a really pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I totally get that. Like, every now and then that happens to me. I'll go with a completely wrong mindset. But every now and then I'll go in with the right mindset, and the movie just doesn't match that mindset. You know, like Alien Covenant. I expected an alien movie.
Right.
And I didn't get an alien movie. I got that. Anyways.
So I don't get hate mail for it. Not that it's going to happen, but... Shaun of the Dead's fucking fantastic. I've seen that movie, I don't even know how many fucking times now, and it's one of the few movies that I actually bought.
You know, the only thing I ever saw for it before I watched the movie was the one scene where the zombies walking down the street and they were going dibbity 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 dib.
Yeah. See,
when that happened, I lost my shit and I went, sold. I'm going to watch this. Well, listeners, thank you for listening to us. We really do appreciate it. Sorry for the lie from last week. That's old Vargo. Blame him. But yeah, this is your podcast for the week. Please go on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on podbean.com if you don't like iTunes. If you do like iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to tell all your friends about us. It's like we say, that's pretty much the only way we get around. But this is Vargo.
Miles.
Keep on geeking on, and we're out.
Yeah, title this one Geek Out Heroes V.
check your own body and beats. I stain my sheets. I don't even know why. My girlfriend, she's at the end. She is starting to cry. When I'm walking, stop again. I'm so strong out. I'm high as a kite. I just want my hands up to check you out. Let me go on.